This morning's shiur is being sponsored by Erwin and Esther Levenbrown, in memory of Aryeh Ben Yitzchak, Arthur Levenbrown, Zatzal, the Kavod Gadol Rebbe.
The Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, as well as in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Hei, discusses the mitzvah of Tefillah, and the Rambam writes that this is to say the Hispalah B'chol Yom, that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to daven each and every day. The Rambam writes that it's based on the pasuk of Lo'avdo B'chol Levavchem, we're obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our entire heart, and the Rambam writes that Eizeh Avodah Shebelev Havi Omer Zeh Tefillah, a specific reference to Tefillah, not merely Avodah Hashem in the broadest sense, but rather specifically obligating us to daven each and every day. It is a chiddush, according to the Rambam, that tefillah indeed is not only a kiyum mitzvah in HaTorah, but actually an obligation to daven every day. And a further issue, that even if you assume that there is a mitzvah of tefillah, how in fact do we know it means once a day, each and every day? And perhaps this is based on a broader application of the following principle, that sometimes the Torah obligates us in a mitzvah and doesn't tell us exactly how often it is that we are obligated to perform that mitzvah itself. And perhaps that indicates that the mitzvah means to do so regularly, to do so once a day, each and every day. The Kesef Mishnah writes this in Perakei of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin. The Torah tells us there's certain times that one does not put on tefillin. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no mitzvah of tefillin. Machlokes Tanaim, whether Laila is or is not Zman tefillin. But aside from the exclusion of night, that Rov Rishonim assume is only a din derabanan, Shabbos and Yom Tov, min HaTorah, there is no mitzvah of tefillin. But how often is a person obligated to do so? So Kesef Mishnah writes that, look, it's an open-ended mitzvah, and therefore minimally it is once a day, each and every day. And this seems to be what the Rambam maintains when it comes to davening as well. Avodah Shebelev, a reference to tefillah, and therefore this is an ongoing mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah with each and every tefillah, but at least minimally one is obligated to daven mitzvah sasei v'hispalo b'choyim. And the Ramban disagrees in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvahei and maintains that this is not the case, that there is no obligation of daily tefillah. The Ramban would acknowledge that if a person does indeed daven, he fulfills the mitzvah of ula'avdo b'cholavavchem. It's a form of avodas Hashem, but the need to daven each and every day, the Ramban writes, is only a mitzvah which is drabanan. The noted exception that the Ramban writes is perhaps be'es sarah. If a person finds himself in a situation of dire need, so then, based on the pasuk in Parshas Bahalosko, al hatzar hatzara eschem, in such a case, when he's kartem, there's a special mitzvah of tefillah be'es tzara. But the obligation of davening regularly, every day, each and every day, that, the Ramban writes, is only a mitzvah derabanan. There is a chiddush that you find in Prima Gadim. It's found in Chedakei of the Psicha HaKoleles. It's also found in Prima Gadim in Simen Tavtadik, where the Prima Gadim writes, there are times where the Ramban would agree that tefillah is daraisa. And that, the Prima Gadim writes, is tefillah Shabbos and tefillah Siyantif. Even though the Ramban writes that tefillah is only a chiyuv derabanan, that's true typically on a weekday, each and every day. However, when it comes to tefillah Shabbos, there the Prima Gadim writes, the Ramban indicates tefillah is daraisa. You don't find a reference to this in that Ramban, in Sefer Mitzvos Mitzvahei. And when you leave that Ramban, it sounds as though the Ramban writes that there is no mitzvah tefillah min HaTorah, with the possible exception of a Sarah. And indeed, in the Ramban's calculation of the Taryag Mitzvos, tefillah is not included, but yet there is another Ramban, and that's the Ramban in Parshas Emor, where Yom Tov is described as being a time of Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh. And the question is, exactly what does that mean, Mikra Kodesh? The Ramban translates it to mean a day of gathering for the purpose of Kedusha. Mikra as Keruei Ha'eda, an assembly. And therefore, Mikra Kodesh, the Ramban translates as being a holy assembly, a gathering of Kedusha. And the Ramban writes, Hakol Misasim, the Kadesh Shayom B'Tfila B'Farhesya. It's a time that everyone gathers together to be Mekadesh Shayom through our Tfila and to do so in a public forum. So Ramban seems to indicate an interesting Chiddush. Prima Gadim points out that there's a special Chiyuv on Tfila of Shabbos Nyantiv as part of our obligation to be Mekadesh the Yom. And not only to do so individually, but the Ramban stresses Bifrahasya. And therefore the Prima Gadim assumes a great Chiddush, and that is that Tfila Shabbos is Daraisa and Tfila B'Tzibur. And Shabbos is Daraisa as well. A fascinating possibility. You know, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Nun Hey that typically speaking, we assume that Tefillah B'Tzibur is only Derabanan, and therefore we can rely on Chazaka when it comes to establishing who is counted as part of the minyan. Right? The boy just celebrated his bar mitzvah. How, in fact, we know that he is an absolute Gadol, because a Gadol requires that your maybe shanim, but as well as simanim. How do we know that this youngster has the physical maturity that al pidin he is considered to be a Gadol? The answer is we rely on chazaka, that presumably that if he already reaches that age, so therefore it is accompanied by physical maturity as well. But when it comes to dinim daraisa, we don't allow you to rely on such a chazaka. If we come, for example, to tkiya shofar, we wouldn't have this fresh bar mitzvah boy go ahead and blow shofar for the tzibur. When it comes, for example, to parsha zachar, we don't have the bar mitzvah boy usually lean parsha zachar. So his parsha is the Shabbos before Purim. In such a case, very often someone else will lean parsha zachar. After all, daraisa, we usually don't rely on one who just became a gadol, a bar chiyuva, to go ahead and to do so. But typically speaking, rely on chazaka. Pima Gadim writes a Kiddush that not true when it comes to a minyan for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Interesting, because after all, the Ramban writes that you require, right, a tzibur daraisa, and in such a case, therefore, you have to have older kids, not just simply a new bar mitzvah bach. In fact, the Pima Gadim writes this in Timon Tzav Tzadik, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the details of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And there the Pima Gadim points out the practice that one would stay up all night, and one would daven quite early, kivasikin, on Shavuos morning. And apparently, in earlier times, this was not necessarily a widespread custom that the adults would do. The adults were working very hard. They would come back and go to sleep. It was the youngsters who would go ahead and stay up all night and learn. And the Prima Gadim admonishes to make sure that you have a minyan of Gedolim Min HaTorah for that tefillah, because after all, the Ramban writes that there is such a need for a tzibur daraisa for the purpose of tefillah Shabbos. An interesting chiddush that, aside from the mitzvah of tefillah in its root sense, but mikra kodesh means a day that one gathers for this purpose, and therefore the possibility of the uniqueness of tefillah Shabbos and tefillah Yom Tov as well. It's interesting that when it comes to tefillah in general, the cutoff point we've often discussed between Mincha and Mariv, the Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Mishnah in the very beginning of the fourth Perek in Brachos and Brachos and Daf Chavav, what exactly is the latest time that one would daven Mincha? Is Tfilas Mincha Ad HaErev? Or do we assume that no, the cutoff point of Mincha is Plag HaMincha? After all, Tfilah is based on Karbanos, and the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim when it comes to Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, was it offered until Shkia? Was it offered only until Plag HaMincha? And therefore, in turn, the machlokis, when is the latest time that one could daven Mincha? Until Shkia, for example, or until Plag? Machlokis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara assumes a fascinating chiddush. And that is that when is the earliest time that one can go ahead and daven Mariv? So the Gemara assumes that, well, according to the Shita of the Chachamim, that would be at Shkia. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be at the time of Plag HaMincha. How do you know exactly that that indeed is true? That's not so clear. What we find in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, we know expressly that there is a machlokas for Avinu Chachamim, when is it that the Zman Mincha comes to an end? But there is no express machlokas in a Mishnah or a Braisa that tells us that, and from that moment and on, one could daven Mariv. How necessarily do you know that those two halachos should indeed go hand in hand? For example, there's a machlokas in terms of tefillah. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Zman tefillah shachris is Dalat Shalos. Does that mean that as soon as Dalat Shalos passes, you can daven Mincha? No, certainly not. Shachris will come to an end, and now you have to wait a couple of hours until the Zman Mincha. So just because Rabbi Yehuda maintains that you can daven Mincha until Plag HaMincha and not afterwards, because the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim was Holeich B'Karev at Plag HaMincha, but how in the world do you know what the Gemara assumes that you can daven Mariv once the Zman Mincha comes to an end? How in fact do you know that that is true? We don't assume when it comes to Shachris and Mincha that just because the Zman Shachris ends, the Zman Mincha begins. Why do we assume when it comes to Mariv that when the Zman Mincha ends, the Zman Mariv begins? Why do we assume necessarily that there is that correlation? So apparently there's something unusual about Tefillas Arvis. The Mishnah tells us in Brachos and above that Tefillas Ha'erev Ein Lav Keva. It is not fixed. It is not set. Exactly what does that mean? If it means that one could daven the entire night, so the Gemara comments that it's a somewhat unusual way of formulating that, let the Mishnah simply say that Tefillah Sa'erev Kol Halayla. Why Tefillah Sa'erev Ein La Keva? Perhaps it's a reference to the Machlokas we've discussed in the past as to whether Tefillah Sarvis is a Rishus or whether Tefillah Sarvis is considered to be a Chova. But even so, if one assumes that Tefillas Arvis is considered to be a Rishus, again, a somewhat unusual way of formulating that Tefillas Ha'erev is Ein La Keva. So the Gaon points out the following Chiddush, that it's true, Tefillas Arvis is Rishus, Rav Yeshua Shita, and that's what the Mishnah is alluding to, but there's a further implication as well. If I were to ask you, what is the Zman of Shachris? The answer is fairly simple, that Shachris is based on the Karmat Tamid Shel Shachar, and therefore whatever the Zman of the Karmat Tamid Shel Shachar is, that is the Zman of Tefillah Shachris. If I were to ask you, what is the Zman of Tefillah Mincha in turn? You have a Karmat Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, let's see when that Karmat is offered, and that would determine the Zman of Tefillah Mincha as well. Very good. What about when it comes to Mariv? Well, there's no set Karmat that is offered at night, and even though we assume that tefillah is connected to midah tiknu, it's based on evarim upadarim. Fats are limbs that were offered right, during the night, and therefore that correspondingly we have tefillah arvis. So it's somewhat unusual that mariv does not have a fixed or a set carbon as its source, and therefore mariv is quite different from Shachris and Mincha. In fact, that's why Rashi writes, Rashi is not found in Brachos, but Rashi writes as elsewhere Shabbos Tatez. That's why Tefillah Sarvis is only a Rishus. We've discussed that in the past as well. Tefillah Sarvis is Rishus. Why is Mariv different from Shachris? Why is it different from Mincha? So Rashi writes, it's different because of Karbanos. There's a set, a fixed carbon which is offered every morning, every afternoon, but Tefillas Arvis is based on the carbon of night. There is no specific carbon at night, but fats and limbs that were not as of yet offered during the day, they can additionally be offered at night. So that's why Rashi writes that Mariv is distinct from Shachris and Mincha, therefore Tefillas Arvis is a Rishus. It no doubt is a great Chiddush because the Gemara never links those issues. The Gemara has a Machlokes Amoraim as what is the basis of Tefillah? Is it Avos or is it Karbanos? And the Gemara has a Machlokes Tanoim. What is Mariv, a Chova or Rishus? Rashi writes in Shabbos and Daftes that those issues are significantly linked, that Tefillas Arvis is Rishus based on Karbanos. You point out in the past that the Netziv argues that the Shultos cannot agree with this because the Shultos cites that the source of Tefillah is Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and yet the Shultos writes Tefillas Arvis is Only Rishus, like Rabbi Yeshua. So apparently you have to understand the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua independent of whether tefillah is based on avos or whether tefillah is based on karbanos. But again, tefillah service is unusual. It doesn't correspond to a particular karban. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua is bothered by the following kasha, Pnei Yeshua in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, that if indeed Mariv is based on Ivarim Upadarim, fats and limbs that are offered, you know, one should argue you can daven Mariv even at night. Not only at night. Ivarim Upadarim was not only offered at night, it was offered even Balayla as well. So if this corresponds to Ivarim Upadarim, so one would have argued, you know what, every day daven Mariv, any time during the day, can I daven even at night? The answer is yes, even at night. But we don't assume that, obviously. Mariv is only at night. Well, why exactly is that true? Why is it that we limit Tfilah Sarvis to Laila when it's based on Ivarim Upadarim? So the Gaon has the following comment, and that is that Tfilas HaErev Ima Keva. Ma'ariv doesn't really have such a fixed time. You know what determines the Zman of Ma'ariv? The fact that we have bookends, no? That it is circumscribed. On the one hand, you have Mincha, and on the other end, you have Shachris. And therefore, that's the Chiddush then of the Gemara, that you know what? We don't overlap the Zman Tfilah. When Mincha will come to an end, Mariv will begin. And if I ask you, and how long does the Zman Mariv extend? We'll argue until the next Zman Tfilah, until Shachris. So therefore, the time element of Arvis is not intrinsic, but rather it's a function of the fact that it's flanked on either end by another Zman Tfilah. And the Gaon points out in Reish Lamed Gimel that's exactly why the Gemara assumes as a Dover Pashuk that if according to Rabbi Yehuda Mincha ends at Plag, Mariv will begin at Plag. No one would argue that according to Rabbi Yehuda if Shacharis ends at Dalet Shos, Mincha begins at Dalet Shos. Because if I ask you what is the Zman of Mincha, the answer is not a function of Shachris. The answer is Mincha is based on Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. But the Zman of Mariv is a function of the remaining Tfilas Hayom, and therefore the Gemara assumes as the Dover Pashut that when one Tfilah ends, the other Tfilah in fact begins, and therefore, right, one is set, and that is Tfilas HaErev Ein Lakeva. With this in mind, the Priyitzak, or Gitzak Tetzavim, Chelek Beis, Simin Tes, suggest the following beautiful Kiddush. That, you know, it's always a difficulty what the Rishonim refer to as a tar to disaster. Davening, Mincha and Mariv during the same slot. After Plag, right, but yet before, for example, Shkia. When it comes to the summer months, for example, unless you're going to daven at a late minyan, unless you're going to daven at a very early minyan, right, on Erev Shabbos, you're going to be davening, right, Mincha and Mariv within the same window of time. Right? Sometimes Plag will be as early as roughly 6:15, so your early Mincha has to start right at 6 o'clock in order to go ahead and daven Mincha before Plag and daven Mariv after Plag. And therefore, it is not so uncommon to have your quarter to 7 minyan or your 7 o'clock minyan during the summer early minyan, which means that necessarily one is davening Mincha and Mariv during the same window of time after Plag before Shkia. Apparently arguing that, look, when it comes to Mincha, we're going to assume like the Shita of the Chachamim that I have until Shkia. When it comes to Mariv, I'm going to simultaneously turn around and argue, now we're relying on the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that what do you mean? That the Zman Mincha ended at Plag, and now the Zman Mariv has already begun. So therefore, a significant issue, the reliance on what we call a tar to disaster. True, the Gemara does tell us, Ovid, Kamar, Ovid, that one can choose to rely either on the Shita of the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, but isn't consistency necessary? And details in the Rishonim, how consistent does one have to be? Do you have to be consistent from one day to another? I can corner you and say, what do you mean, last week you relied on Rabbi Yehuda? What right do you have this week to rely on the Chachamim? Or can we argue, look, as long as we're not forcing a clash, the same day, a tar to disaster, where you're daving two tefillos back to back, where one tefillah clearly is out of the allotted Zman, right, that is considered to be right, a tar to disaster. From one day to the next, we don't necessarily force that collision. So a significant issue. So if this is how you present this, so it sounds like a very significant kula, the lawin, so during the summer, right, davening during that window of time where it is after plug, before shki and davening both, ninchen marav. And ninchen amid, it's true that many kehilos, they will see to it to avoid, right, the tarpe disaster. Not for all the summer weeks, but for most of the summer weeks, a small adjustment, right, will avoid that issue. If you daven at 7, you're never going to avoid that tarpe disaster. If you daven a quarter to 7, right, you'll avoid it for most weeks, because most of the summer weeks, plug is about 7 o'clock. So therefore, sometimes a small adjustment can really make a significant difference. You're not going to avoid it at the very beginning of the summer, and not at the very end of the summer, but for the thrust of the summer, most weeks, that small modification can go ahead and resolve what is the tarte disaster. So for Yitzchak, and Chelek Beis Mentes, right, a beautiful beer that we just explained according to the Gaon, that, you know, that Zman Mariv does not have such a fixed and rigid time, but rather the Zman Mariv begins when the Zman Mincha would come to an end. It continues until the time of Tefillah Shachris. So the question really is exactly this point: when does the Zman Mincha come to an end? Well, according to the Chachamim, Zman Mincha comes to an end at night, at Shkia. So how would that help? What happens, for example, if, let's assume, you didn't daven mincha on Friday afternoon, and you're makabel Shabbos, and all of a sudden you realize, I didn't daven mincha as of yet, no? And you know what, it's still before Shkia. Would we tell that person that go ahead and daven mincha now? So we assume, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that no, that once you're makabel Shabbos, so in such a case, that what do you mean? The Zman Mincha has come to an end, even though you have several minutes before Shkia, but nonetheless, here Kabbalah Shabbos means that the Zman Mincha, the Yitzchak writes, now has come to an end. And if that is true, that Mariv does not have an independent window, Zman Tfila, but rather it's all predicated on the conclusion of Mincha and the onset of Shachris, so maybe the following possibility: if one davens mincha and then one is mekabel Shabbos, and now one can no longer daven mincha, that time has come to an end. So maybe even the chachamim, forget about the tarte disaster, even the chachamim would argue that tefillah seraf ein la keva, that now the zman mariv has begun. Because there's no halacha, for example, that Marav has to be exactly at this moment, but rather Marav is at the conclusion of Mincha and extends until the onset of the Zman Shachar. So that's the issue that the Priyitzcha writes, a beautiful Kiddush, to explain the common practice of doubting what seems to be a tarte disaster. To do this during the weekday, that would be reliance on a combination of Rabbi and Chachamim, but to do it on Friday, where Mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos, and Mariv, in such a case, maybe you don't even have to come onto the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the Chachamim would allow that indeed to be the case. A fascinating nuance when it comes to Tefillah Shabbos, right? That Yishuv that the Pri Yitzchak writes in order to explain what is considered to be a common practice. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Chav Dalid explains that there's something unique when it comes to Mariv as well on Shabbos, and that is the Bracha Me'ein Sheva. So all of a sudden we have seemingly a form of a Chazar Sashatz when it comes to Mariv, right, on Shabbos. Unusual that in fact should be the case. And why was that instituted? So Rashi explains Shabbos Chav Dalet because of Am Shabbos Adas, that the shuls were not in the middle of the Kehillah. The shuls were sometimes on the outskirts. And therefore, right, Rashi points out that it wasn't so common in those times that people, for example, would daven Mariv B'tzibur during the week. But Friday night they used to indeed do so. And if a person was coming late to tefillah, so in such a case, we would risk that person would now have to travel home by himself. Everybody else would leave. He's still going to be in the middle of davening. And therefore, when he ends, everyone is long gone, and he will have to go ahead and travel by himself. We want to avoid that. We want him, right, to be able to travel home together with the tzibur. And therefore, Chazal instituted the bracha achas me'ein sheva. What exactly is its purpose? According to Rashi, simply to buy time, to prolong the davening. and therefore give this person a chance to daven himself, and he will be able to go ahead and to leave the shul together with everyone else. Good. One could have envisioned, according to Rashi Shita, that Chazal could have solved that problem in many ways. Right? They solved it by a Chazar Sashatz, a Bracha Achas Mein Sheva. Maybe they could have solved it through the president getting up and making long, long announcements. So, you know, by the time everybody leaves, so he will have a chance to go ahead and daven. Maybe Chazal could have instituted Pirkei Tehillim in order to go ahead and prolong the davening. Chazal instituted what replicates a Shmoneh Esrei. But according to Rashi, interestingly, one perhaps could have argued, didn't have to necessarily be that way. The solution was not always a direct result of the challenge. The challenge was to get everybody to leave at the same time. The solution was fascinating. Right? A bracha achas me'ein sheva. The reason I stress this is because if you look in the Gaon, in Shulchan Aruch and Simanei Samaches, there the Gaon explains it somewhat differently. The Gaon writes as Rashi, the problem was on Shabbos Ados, and therefore people would come late, and we did not want them to go ahead into travel home from shul by themselves, so therefore, the Gaon explains, Chazal instituted a bracha achas me'ein sheva, that instead of that latecomer davening a private Shmoneh Esrei, he will be yotzei his chiyuv tefillah with the chazan's magen avos. That's how the Gaon understands. See, according to what the Gaon explains, announcements would not be an option, tilim would not be an option. This was in lieu of, not simply to buy time, recognizing the problem, but you know, so this latecomer would just sit and listen to one bracha, and with that, in fact, he would be yotzei. That's how the Gaon explains. I would suggest that Gaon is what she's saying. Because, you know, there are different minhagim. Who is it that says, right, Magen Avos? You know, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Chazan should say every word of Magen Avos. Sometimes you go to a shul where the Chazan just picks up at the very end, Kel Hodos, right? And the Mishnah Berurah writes, what do you mean? Every word. Every word. The Chazan should in fact recite, similar to what the Mishnah Berurah writes regarding Modim, every word the Chazan should recite. Not just to pick up at the tail end of Modim. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik would encourage the practice, the Chazan Ish did the same, that the Chazan should not say the Modim simultaneously with the Tzibur saying Modim Derabanan. The Kriya, the Hishtachava of Modim, or Modim and Afmalach, that is said simultaneously, and then to wait, and then afterwards then to pick up, in order that the Tzibur should hear each and every word of the Modim, like the Tzibur should hear each and every word of Magen Avos. The Gaon points out, it's not just simply as the Mishnah Berurah writes, that the Chazan should wait, and then everyone finishes, and then the Chazan should begin with Magen Avos, but the Tzibur shouldn't say Magen Avos. This is only for the Chazan to say, and that was the Minhag HaGrah, that entire Bracha Achas Mein Sheva, but was only recited by the Chazan, would suggest that fits in very well with what the Gaon writes in Reis Samaches, that the whole Bracha Achas Mein Sheva is a Chazar HaSashatz. That's its purpose. In order to be Motzi one who came late to daven. See, according to Rashi, that one would argue that the purpose of this tefillah simply is to buy time. So one could raise the issue. So who says this Magen Avos? One could argue either way. Maybe it's said by the Chazan, maybe it's said by the entire Tzibur, but the point is to prolong the davening for an extra 5 minutes. So therefore, let the Chazan say, let the Tzibur say, I understand. But if you're going to argue that no, this is a Chazar Sashatz for the Chazan to daven on behalf of the latecomer, so of course, it is the Chazan who goes ahead and does so, and not surprising that the Gaon writes the Chazan and the Chazan alone, and no one else, right, accompanies at all in the Bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva. See, what you find in Simrei Samaches and Tur is the view of the Gaonim, the view of Rabbeinu Moshe Gaon and the others, Rav Natronoi Gaon, that if necessary, a person could be yotzei his chiyuv tefillah with Bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva. Let's assume, for example, I made a mistake in my Shmoneh Esrei on Friday night. So the Torah is the name of the Gaonim that I can be out, say, with Magen Avos. So one would argue as follows, is that a Chiddush? So I would suggest that according to the Gaon, that's not really such a Chiddush, because that's why this was instituted. Now, according to Rashi, It could be, but it's a chiddush to assume so. In other words, the fact that the Chachamim instituted the Bracha Chasmein Sheva does not necessarily mean you could be yotzei with that, because the purpose of its institution was simply to buy time. And therefore, maybe one could argue yes or no. According to the Gaon, by definition, of course you can be yotzei with it, because the whole purpose of its institution was to be motzi one who otherwise would not be able to properly daven, the latecomer. So part of the takana was that one could be yotzei with the bracha chasmein sheva, and so I understand very well why this could apply even in a more broad sense of a person who davened but made a mistake. All of a sudden a person realized, you know, I davened a tefillah skol, I didn't daven a tefillah Shabbos, my sinner was open to the wrong page. So I'll tell the person, you know what, no problem, rely on the bracha chasmein sheva of the chasm. If you look in Beis Yosef and Reis Samaches, the Beis Yosef writes the following chiddush, and that is, why is it so simple that a person can be yotzei with the bracha chasmein sheva? After all, couldn't one argue that, you know what, a person should have davened 7 full brachas, and a person is only davening a single bracha? Is it so obvious that one bracha can substitute for, right, an entire Shemoneh Esrei? But how in fact do you know that that's true? And even if you assume that you're at Min HaTorah, that's true, that we don't have a specific number of requisite brachas, but nonetheless, Midraban, obviously yes. The Gemara quotes Makoros for each and every Shemoneh Esrei, whether it is 7 brachos, or 9 brachos, or 18 brachos, 19 brachos. So if a person is missing 7 brachos on Shabbos and Yom Tov, why is it so simple that with a single bracha, a person could go ahead and make up that missed opportunity? Why is that so simple? So the Beis Yosef writes, the answer is as follows, because tefillah sarvis is rishus. That's not found in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions the machlokas, whether marv is rishus, marv is a chova. It's not clear from the Gemara what the difference is, whether marv is a chova, marv is rishus. But the Beis Yosef writes in Reis Samaches, the possibility, the allowance of relying on bracha chasmein sheva is because tefillah sarvis is rishus. If this would really be a tefillah chova, that would not be the case. But since tefillah sarvis is a rishus, it's almost like a varmu pidarim, in the sense that there's no particular carbon that has to be offered, but you know what? The mizbeach should not be empty at night. And so too, laila should not be void of tefillah. But if it's a bracha chasmein sheva, that's considered to be sufficient as well, and as such, so therefore you understand that possibility. But that no doubt is a chiddush, that the allowance to rely on bracha chasmein sheva is because tefillah sarvis is considered to be rishus. Interesting. See, one could even suggest the following difference. Let's assume, for example, a person didn't daven mincha on Friday afternoon. So that person is obligated in tashlum. A person has to daven, right, an additional Shemoneh Esrei now on Friday night. Tashmume mincha. Not so clear. Is that a rishus or is that a chova? You see, tashlumen always has to follow the primary tefillah. Now that's what the Rif points out in the Sugya Brachos Nachavav. You have a primary tefillah and you have a secondary tefillah. Can the tefillah's tashlumen, the added tefillah, ever be more chomor than the primary tefillah? The primary tefillah balayla is only a rishus. So can tefillah tashlumei mincha become a chov? There's no tefillah chova balayla. Balayla is just a varmu pedarim. Or maybe one could argue that, no, what do you mean? That this tefillah is in lieu of mincha. So whatever is true of mincha, if mincha is a tefillah chova, tashlumei mincha becomes a tefillah chov as well. It's a fascinating issue. What exactly is the status of tashlumei mincha? Would one argue that's a chova, a rishus? In fact, here you find three possibilities. One possibility is what the Prima Gunim assumes. Prima Gunim is found earlier, Kuf Chavav, where the Prima Gunim maintains that Marav is Rishus and Tashlume Mincha is a Chol. Interesting. Now, so the Tashlume Mincha is more Chomer than Marav. Right? Even though Marav is the Ikar HaTfilah, but also as well, the Prima Gunim assumes that, well, it should be so surprising. Marav is Rishus, the Mincha is a Chol, this is in lieu of Mincha, so whatever Shul Mincha is Shuav. So the first tefillah is Rishus, the second tefillah is considered to be a Chovah. If you look in Elef HaShlomo, Rosh Shlomo Kluger, Siman and Gimel, here Rosh Shlomo Kluger writes a fascinating Chiddush, but wait, the Gemara writes that a tefillah's Tashlumin always has to be preceded by a tefillah's Chovah. You know, it's a big problem if a person is Chayv in Tashlumin and he davens the Tashlumin first and then davens the Tefillah Shlomo. That's the Gemara that you find in the Daf and Brachos, where the Rif writes the following Chiddush. Let's assume, for example, a person didn't daven Mincha on Shabbos. Well, let's say Shabbos, he has to daven to Shmoneh Esrei. All of a sudden, I say to that person, what did you do about Atachon and Tam? So the person says to me, well, I didn't say it in the first, but I did say it in the second. So I say to him, why did you do that? So he says, no, very simply, because the first Shmoneh Esrei is Tashlumin for Mincha. Mincha doesn't have Atachon and Tanu. The second Shmoneh Esrei is Marev, which has Atachon and Tanu. So you know what the Rif writes? In such a case, he reversed the Tfilos, he has to daven again. He has to daven a third Shmoneh Esrei. What would that third Shmoneh Esrei be? That third Shmoneh Esrei would be a Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu. Is he just Atachon and Tanu Shmoneh Esrei? Number two, so that's pretty unusual. What did he daven, Shmoneh Esrei 1? The Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu. So I say, terrible, you have to daven again. What do I daven again? The Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu. The guy turns to me and says, that's exactly what I did. No, I daven the Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu. Usually when I tell you repeat Shmoneh Esrei, it's to include something that you omitted. Here, you daven Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu, and I'm telling you, daven again another Shmoneh Esrei without Atachon and Tanu. That's what Tosfos discusses in Brachos Daf Chavav. That's pretty unusual. We're obligated to daven again and say the exact same words that you already davened. Maybe one would not be obligated to do so. Tosfos compares that to the case of a person who davens Mincha on Rosh Chodesh and forgets Yalav Yavo, but doesn't realize this mistake until the night, and it's no longer Rosh Chodesh. So he davened a Shmoneh Esrei without Yalav Yavo, and you're going to insist he has to daven a Shmoneh Esrei now tonight. What does that Shmoneh Esrei look like? A Shmoneh Esrei without Yalav Yavo. The guy will say, that's exactly what I did. No, so do you ever obligate a person to daven an additional Shmoneh Esrei to make up for something which is missed where he's not going to be making it up in any case? Or do you argue, what do you mean? That you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, you're not Yotzei Tefillah. Finish. So you have to daven again to be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah. Forget about the azkara, the added recitation of Yalav Yavo. But an interesting possibility. So in this instance, right, it's considered to be the Rif writes the Ikuva, that if one distorts the Seder HaTefillah. So Shlomo Kluger writes a pretty unbelievable chiddush. Marav is only Rishus. Okay. But Tashlumei Mincha is like Mincha Tzachova. But Tashlumin has to follow a Tfilas Chova. Shlomo Kluger writes, pretty unbelievable Chiddush, Simenon Gimel, that if you didn't daven Mincha on Friday afternoon, both Tfilas Rechova. Marav on Shabbos and Tashlumin Mincha. Because Tashlumin Mincha is a Chova, and Tashlumin has to follow a Tfilas Chova, so that transforms Marav into a Tfilas Chova as well. Wow. So Shlomo Kluger writes that if a person didn't daven Mincha on Friday afternoon, both tefillos, Marav and Tashlumin Mincha are a Chova. The Prima Gunim writes in Kuf Chavav that no, the first is only Rishus, the second is a Chova. And the opposite extreme is what the Rishash writes in Brachos Daf Chavav, that both are Rishus. Because how can a tefillos Tashlumin transcend, exceed the Ikar tefillah Bizman? So if tefillos Marav is only a Rishus, Tashlumei Mincha, which is on the coattails of Mariv, is only going to be Rishus as well. So a pretty fascinating machlokes. If a person doesn't go ahead and daven Mincha on Friday afternoon, you're going to tell that person to daven Mariv and Tashlumei Mincha What is a chova? What is a rishus? Three possibilities. Both rishus, both chova, or a split, that the first is rishus, mariv, the second, hashlemich, is considered to be a chova. Three possibilities. My nafkamina, I'll tell you this nafkamina. No? The guy says, let me rely on the bracha achas main shema. I have to daven so much. Let me rely on the chazan for something. Can he rely on the chazan? The Beis Yosef writes, reliance on bracha achas main shema is only because mariv is a rishus. If you assume that in this case, both are rishus, I could say to a person, you know what? You can rely on bracha achas main shema for either one of those filos. If you assume, as Prima Gadim writes, that what do you mean? The first is a chova, but tashlum mincha. First is rishus, tashlum mincha is a chova. You could only rely on bracha achas min sheva for mariv, but not for tashlum mincha. And if you assume both are considered to be a chova, then here we turn to you and say, no, not tonight. You missed mincha. Both are a chova. Now you cannot rely on bracha achas min sheva. So fascinating possibility in that instance. There is a fascinating har Rabbi Kveger has. This is found elsewhere, Kuf Yadalit. Rabbi Kveger is bothered by the following. What happens if a person forgets to say, let's say, Mashiach Haruach, Nishmon Esrei, forgets to say the Saint Alamata, Nishmon Esrei? He's obligated to be chozer. He's obligated to repeat. You forget Mashiach Baruch, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. You forget, let's say, Mashiach Baruch, let's say, when it comes to Mariv, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But even though Mariv is Rishus, Tosus already points out, but if you make a critical error, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. A person forgets to say Mashiach Baruch, Mariv on Shabbos, you're going to say, repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Repeat the Shema Esrei. You know what the difficulty is? Wait a second. You're going to tell me repeat the Shema Esrei. L'reis tamaches. I can be out, say, with the bracha achas mein sheva b'chazen. The bracha achas mein sheva b'chazen is not going to contain Mashiach Baruch. It doesn't have Mashiach Baruch. So I can be out, say, with that. So, again, it's similar. If I can be out, say, with that, so you're going to make me repeat Shmoneh Esrei because I failed to say Mashiach Baruch? I'll be yotzei with Shmoneh Esrei without Mashiach Baruch. Well, so what do you make of that? How is that in fact possible? So Rabbi Kveger suggests a very great chiddush in Kuf Yudalid that maybe Mashiach Baruch is not li'ikuv on Friday night. On Wednesday night, if I would forget to say Mashiach Baruch, I'd have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But once the Chachamim instituted the Bracha Achas Me'in Sheva, and that is a viable option, if I make a mistake in my tefillah to be yotzei, that view of Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Natan Neugon, to be yotzei with that. So again, don't you see that possibility? I can be yotzei even without Mashiach Baruch. And maybe that would argue that if I daven without Mashiach Baruch, is that really worse than Bracha Achas Me'in Sheva? True, that my tefillah was a flawed tefillah. It was a tefillah of Mashiach Baruch. And the bracha achas mein sheva is a perfect tefillah. Nothing was omitted. But nonetheless, if you don't have to say it, you don't have to say it. And in such a case, that's Rabbi Kveger's Sarachim. It's a fascinating chiddush. You know, one could raise the following issue. Well, let's assume it's a Yantuf Shechalios B'Shabbos. Right? And a person, let's say, would just mention Shabbos and would not mention Yantuf. Well, you'd have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Oh, could I argue, have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei and be yotzei with Magen Avos? The Magen Avos, I mentioned Yom Tov, all I mentioned is Shabbos. You know what, there I would argue to the person, you know what, on this Shabbos of a Yom Tov, which falls out on Shabbos, then maybe you can't be yotzei with Magen Avos. Why did Chazal institute it? So you know what, I'll argue very simply. Chazal instituted it for typical weeks. Who says Chazal instituted Magen Avos for the Yom Tov, which falls out on a Shabbos? Who says that that's true? If it's a Yantif that falls out on Shabbos, maybe you're right. And this week, here, Magen Avos would not work. It doesn't bother me to say that 1 week it doesn't work. But it's harder to say that for half a year. Now, the Chacham instituted Magen Avos, and for half of the year, it doesn't function because have to say Mashiach Ruach, and there is no recognition of Mashiach Ruach in Magen Avos. So it seems quite likely that Chazal would have solved that particular problem. But the fact that once in a while you're going to have a Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, okay, so maybe that week we would tell a person who made a grievous error, his Shemon Esrei, or the guy who came very, very late, we're going to tell him, you know what, here you can't rely on Magen Avos. But to institute a solution that doesn't work whenever you have to say Mashiach Ruach, or Yikav Eger assumes, right, it's not so simple in that case, but a fascinating possibility. You also see a following Chiddush. Rav Yaakov Emden disagrees with this Chiddush, but the whole assumption is that Tefillah Arvus is Rishus, even on Shabbos. Because Rav Yaakov Emden suggests an interesting Chiddush, that maybe Tefillah Arvus is only Rishus on a weekday. After all, we began this year, the special uniqueness of Tefillah Arvus, right? Like, Kadesh Yom Befahesia, not to do so. Maybe one could have argued that on Friday night, Maariv is considered to be a Tefillas Chol, not just simply a Tefillas Rishus. But you see expressly from the Torah, from the Beis Yosef, Reis Samaches, that even when it comes to Tefillas Arvis and Shabbos, right, we treat that as a Rishus as well, despite the fact that there's an added kiyum, right, of Tefillah when it comes to Tefillas Shabbos. But nonetheless, right, we could argue that the need to specifically daven Maariv, that is considered to be a Tefillah Rishus. But fascinating possibilities in terms of Tefillas Chovah versus the case of Tefillas Rishus. The reliance on the Bracha Achas Me'in Sheva, the Chiddush of the Gaon, and the Din in the Achronim, Tashlumi Mincha. To what extent we view that as a Tefillas Chovah or as a Tefillas Rishus?
Yeah.